Hello, lovely people. Thank you very much for having a listen to Adoption Adventures. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. I got some really exciting news today. I got an email to say that Adoption Adventures has made it into the top 100 podcasts in the category of family. Now, don't all get out the champagne at once. We are only number 89. I don't actually know how many podcasts are in that category. There could just be 89. However, being within that top 100 is really, really exciting. And it means that this podcast is doing what I really hoped it would. It's reaching people. And you know, we're getting so much support on our social media. I'm getting a load of different messages from all followers, and it's so incredible to hear about different people's stories, their journeys, their sort of questions that you guys have got, and some of the things that you've wanted to check in and ask, and some of the comments as well. It's been really, really lovely, and it feels fantastic to be a part of your journeys as well. So, you know, the support for this podcast is growing, but it's you guys. You know, without you listening, there would be no point doing this. So thank you for tuning in. Apologies again, because I like to post on a Monday, but my plans got completely thrown out of whack unexpectedly yesterday. So sorry for those of you that did have to wait just a little bit longer to hear my beautiful voice. I'd love to say that I'm worth it. Fingers crossed some of you think so too. So those of you that have been listening will know that last week we started the conversation about schools. We started talking about how little dude was getting on when he first went to his first school, what that looked like, and sort of the experiences that he was going through. We then said that we was moving into the difficulties that were faced and the challenges. We said how the head came in and felt that it was more important to get academic growth instead of sort of pastoral or sort of therapeutic care. So we saw some challenges faced at that stage. So we took on the challenge of working out whether it was right to move little dude into a new school or keep him at the same one, and we went backwards and forwards and did that challenge, but did in the end decide to move him. What I'm going to do now in today's episode is I'm going to talk to you about the second school and the whole experience of moving over to that school, how that was for little dude, how we found that, and sort of the highs and the lows and whatnot. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So we spoke with little dude about how he would feel about moving schools. He displayed some initial concerns, but also he kind of got it, and he kind of understood that actually the care that he was receiving, he wasn't okay with it, and he wasn't happy with how things were. So he understood why we were going down that road. We told him that he would be, you know, engaged, and sort of we would talk to him and let him see the new school and make sure it was something that he wanted as well. I went out to visit a number of different schools, asking questions, like I said last week. Now that I was experienced with little dude and experienced as a parent, experienced within some form of the education, I was able to ask a lot more precise questions and questions that actually made a difference and were pertinent to Little Dude, which was really, really good. So that allowed me to identify some of the schools that were definitely not right, and some schools that may, if certain things were in place, may be okay. The school that we ended up going to was one of the area's leading schools. They had a head teacher that had been there for years and years and years, which, I'll be honest, was a flag to me. That was a red flag to me, because my thought process is that head teachers that stick around for too long, do they end up perhaps losing their vision? You know, do they stop wanting to push that school forward? I don't know. That's just a sort of an initial worry that I had. But actually, I met with her, had a great conversation, and her passion for her school, I don't believe that it's ever wavered. You know, her passion for her children in her school is incredible. She talked about so many different really exciting concepts, and it sounded to me that she was always looking at ways that they could get better, which I found incredible. One thing that was really interesting was they were almost like a trainer school as well. So she got to meet a lot of teachers that were coming through the system, which meant that she could find really, really good ones within the trainees and bring them into her staff. She really actively encouraged more male teachers in primary school. She felt that that actually brought a really positive balance to that level of learning, which was a real different way of looking at things, but I really liked it. And yeah, we took a walk around the school, and I saw some really, really lovely, lovely sort of, you got a great feeling from it. You saw some great learning going on and some real enthusiastic teaching as well. So that was lovely for me to see. Spoke with Little Dude about it, and he said that he was quite happy to go and have a visit. We took him for a visit. He interacted with a number of different teachers. There was one teacher in particular that I suppose the only way I can describe him was almost like a bit of a Jack the Lad. He was really young, really enthusiastic, and he came over and he was like, "Oh, all right, little dude, how you doing? So what sort of subjects do you like?" And little dude says, "I quite like maths." And this teacher was like, "Oh, wow, that's my favourite subject too. Oh, have you learnt about this? And he got so passionate about maths, and he lit Little Dude's eyes up, got so much enthusiasm out of Little Dude. And that was great. I was really, really excited to see that. I then spent time with the head teacher, and I said, you know, I voiced some of my concerns about the previous school. I explained about the PPP fund, and I said, you know, didn't like how that wasn't used. And again, she had a really honest conversation. She said, well, understand, within education, at the time it was £1,900, it's now £2,300. She said, you have to understand, £1,900 for a year doesn't stretch that far. She said, now, here's some ideas that I've got as to how we're going to make this work. She said, but, you know, I can't change the world with that sum. Even that really, really gave me so much confidence, because she wasn't trying to make up an answer to please me. She was being honest from the outset, and she was letting me know where she stood and what she could do. She was setting my expectations, and she was clear, and I really liked it. Spoke with Little Dude. He was really enthusiastic. He said, you know what, I haven't been happy. I do want to move. It's time, and I'm okay with it. which I thought was really mature of him. Was really, really impressed with that sort of approach that he had. So we organised it, that it would happen. Again, it was as the changing of the years. So he saw out the end of that year, then started a brand new school year at the new school. When it came to the goodbyes at the old school, it was, you know, it was a sad day. He had some tears for his friends. He had asked us sort of in the weeks leading up to it, he said, if I change my mind, am I allowed to change my mind? And we said, you can, but there will be almost like a cut-off point. He didn't want to change his mind, he was just sad about saying goodbye. But we assured him that the friends that he wanted to stay in touch with, we would. And then first day of the new school comes, and obviously he's a little bit nervous. I am a bag of nerves. Literally, there are no words. We go and we sit in the reception, and it was horrible because he was nervous, and we was just sat there. I was nervous. And I was like, oh, I don't really want this. I want to be great and strong for him, but have I made the right decision? You know, Dad had said, look, do we just keep him at the same school because at least we know it? And I'd really fought for this change. So it was like, oh, is this right? I just don't know. So we were sat there for a very short time, and then out comes little dude's new teacher, and it turned out to be the teacher that we had met on our tour, the guy that was the bundle of enthusiasm, and the enthusiasm had just got bigger and broader and more excitable. He came into the reception, broad arms wide open, smile literally from ear to ear. He was like, hello little dude, oh, I'm so excited that you've joined this school, how cool's that? We're going to do some maths together, do you want to do that? Little dude, up on his feet, side by side with this teacher, started walking away down the corridor, didn't even give me a backwards glance, and he and this teacher were walking off down the corridor, and they were in full animated conversation. And I was just full of smiles because that it couldn't have gone better in that moment. And that was so nice to see, such a difference in what we had seen. So that then happened. End of the day came, and I touched base with the teacher. I said, look, I'm not gonna come and bother you every day after lesson. I said, but you know, how was his first day? He said, absolutely fantastic. What a great kid. Really excited to have him in my class. You know, he's a cracking lad. I was like, that's great. That is really nice to hear. And then they let us know that they had a system in place whereby they would have a parents' evening. I think it was something like 3 or 4 weeks, maybe not even that, it might have only been 2. So 2 to 3 weeks after term starts, they have a parents' evening. And this is to say, this is how well your child is settling in. This is how they're doing. Do you have any concerns? Do you have any things that you'd like us to focus on? All things like that. And I think that that is such an incredible way around of doing it, because I've found that in a lot of schools, you tend to find that the parents' evenings are towards the end of the year when you can't make any difference. So to have one at the start of the year and the end of the year, it's a real nice tracker for us as parents. So we went into this meeting, and bearing in mind each parents' evening that we'd attended to date, we'd just listened to how naughty he is and how he's really chatty and how he doesn't behave and how his social skills are so terrible. So we'd heard quite a lot of negative parents' evenings and meetings with school. So even though little dude was saying that he was having a great time, we were still quite apprehensive and still assumed that we were going to hear all of the negatives. So we went along and met Mr. Enthusiasm, and he carried on with the enthusiasm. He was like, "Your son is so cool, really excited about where he is with his maths and all of this," and he was just filled with praise for little dude. Dad and I sort of like stopped and was like, "Okay, that's great, that is amazing, that's so nice to hear. How's the behaviour doing?" And he was like, "It's absolutely fine. There's no issues." And we're like, no, listen, you don't have to pander to us, you don't have to be nice. We know from his previous school that he makes mistakes and faux pas. What's going on? You know, there must have been some errors." And the look of bewilderment come across this teacher's face, and he was like, "Well, no." He said, "He's just a really great kid." He said, "There might be a couple of times when he's done something," and I go, "Oh, actually, little dude, we don't do it like that at this school." He said, and little dude just turns around and goes, "Oh, okay." He said, and then he stops. I was like, "Oh, come on, he must have done something, surely." And then, so there's Dad and I pushing for this teacher to tell us something bad about our kid. That must say a lot more about us than it does about anything else. And in the end, he says, "Well, look," he said, "look, you're pushing me here." I said, "Ah, there is something. Go on, what is it? What's he done?" He said, "Well, the other day," he said, I walked down the corridor," he said, "and I saw that little dude was standing by the water fountain, and he had the water button on," he said, "and then he was sort of cupping his hand and flicking water at everyone that walked past." I was like, "Right, okay, yeah." He said, so I just said, "Wow, little dude, great little joke, but actually, that's not really okay here. We can't do that." He said, and little dude was really apologetic and said, "Yeah, sorry, that was quite silly." He said, and then he stopped. He said, and nothing else has happened. Now, I said, I'm really sorry. He said, "Look, he's just being a kid." He said, "particularly a boy." He said, "he's just pushing his boundaries." He said, "but actually, this is a great kid. You're doing a great job." And that really, really threw us, in a positive way, it threw us. Because, like I say, we were so used to all of these negative meetings, we weren't ready for this really positive one. And that felt so incredible. And what we found was, everything changed. So I wasn't being called into the school every 5 minutes about something else that little dude had done wrong. Which meant that when he got home, we were able to have a really fun evening and a really great time and be proud of what he was achieving at school. So he was in a better place at home. So the entire cycle was just going so, so well. He wanted to engage in after school clubs. Again, I'd spoken to the head teacher. I said, "Well," she said, "you know, we love sports here. We think they're so fantastic." I said, "So do we." I said, "Couldn't agree more." I said, "But do understand, our little dude, terrible gross motor skills. He'll barge into anyone. He'll trip over his own feet." I said, "He loves sports, but that's not necessarily his strength at this point." And she said, "I don't care. I really, really don't care how good or bad he is at sports. I care that he's involved in it because it's going to enhance his gross motor skills. It's going to enhance the way he understands that he's part of a team. It's going to help him to understand that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose." And she had this whole sort of concept around how great sports are, all of which I agreed with. But he then got involved, and you know, in the previous school, when they'd had after-school clubs, they started them after 2 weeks of term starting. They finished them a week before term ended. So that's kind of what we expected. And she said, "No, first day at school, all clubs are open." If my teachers are here, if my pupils are here, they get to go to after school club if they want them. And little dude literally enrolled in every single after school club that he could. So he opted to stay an hour later at school every day because it was just something different and something fun, which I thought was incredible. So that was great. That was really, really exciting. We hit a stumbling block because there was a particular boy at the school who, sadly, his parents were, they were falling into the trap of overseeing everything that he did and overlooking everything that he did and blaming other people for what he was doing. So he was quite nasty to other children, but when that would happen, his parents would come in and scream at the teachers that every other child had done it. And I was seeing this behaviour quite a bit. And then one particular day, this mum decided to make a beeline for little dude and started yelling at little dude for attacking her son. Obviously, I had one or two things to say about this. But that was quite an upsetting time, because she accused little dude of being horrible and for hurting her son, and he got quite upset because she had yelled at him. We all then went to see their head teacher, who it appeared was very well experienced with dealing with this particular parent. They were on a first name basis, and she said, right, okay, do you want to talk about things? And this mum said, oh, I'm so furious, oh, I'm so upset, this is disgusting. She said, oh, I just watched him attack my son and grab him and hurt him and throw him to the floor. I had a retort in place, but before I could give it, the teacher who was teaching that particular after school club said, actually, all of that happened in front of my eyes, and I'm telling you without question, you're wrong. That is not what happened. Said, if anything, it was your son who was being aggressive, not this child. That really threw her. She was still angry. She was like, no, you didn't see it properly. The head teacher, the teacher, and I kind of formed this like non-verbal communication of, let's let this woman run out a bit of steam and see where we can take this. But it was very evident that neither the head teacher nor the teacher believed that little dude had done anything wrong. And then I raised a question. I said, right, okay. I said, so out of curiosity, I said, you know, what is it that you actually want to happen? What does success look like here? I said, you're saying a lot of words and you're very angry. What is it that you're hoping to achieve by yelling at everyone, including my son? And she said, well, because of his actions, I want the head to exclude him from school for 3 days. And this was the first time that I saw the head drop her very, very kind demeanour. Everything about her was so warm and comforting until that moment when she really, really, really got upset by that comment. And she said, not in these words, but she was like, look, how dare you come in and tell me how I should punish my children, and how dare you make up a story and then make up a punishment. I think her exact words were, there is no way on earth, when my teacher, whom I trust, is telling me that this didn't happen, would I then punish a child for doing something that you said he has done. We are not going down the road of punishing a child just because you have had a bad day. I didn't need to say another word. I could just stand back and just watch and enjoy. And that was really, really great. And, you know, I explained, I said, look, you know, I understand. Sometimes my son will make sort of social faux pas. He will make errors. I said, and, you know, we need to work on that. I said, and if he has barged into your son, that's likely. And, you know, but it wouldn't be intentional. to which at this point she was really ranting, and she was like, "Oh, she said, oh, and you've got to watch out because there's loads of rumours flying around about you." I was like, "Okay." And she was like, "Yeah, all her mums are getting together and saying that you're a gay." to which I was like, "Okay. Well, that's not a rumour, that's a fact, but it's really irrelevant in this meeting." So, "Oh, well, it don't matter, because I've got a friend who's gay." I said, I'm still not seeking your approval. Can we just keep on focus here?" But that was generally the way that this crazy moment was going. The conclusion of that was that she was told that she didn't have a leg to stand on and to stop being ridiculous. Sadly, the sad thing about that was she then started using her son as a weapon. So she got him to target little dude. And the school had to become really vigilant on sort of his interactions with little dude. And he was caught sort of having a sort of trying to attack little dude and saying, "Oh, you've got two dads, you've got gay dads, it means you're gay." All things that we fully anticipated would happen. But this was then caught by a different teacher. And he caught this happening, and he came down like a ton of bricks on this kid, and he was like, "That is not language that we do, that is not acceptable." Really, really went to town, and then pulled Dean aside and said, "Look, you've got to understand something." He said, "You've got two dads." He said, "I'm a dad. I think dads are absolutely incredible." He said, "I don't think parents are," he said, "I think parents are rubbish unless they're a dad." He said, "And you've got two of them." He said, "So out of all of the pupils that attend this school," he said, "I think you're the luckiest one." So that was amazing. You know, in this real dark time, in this real challenging time when it would have been very easy to sort of hide behind it or sort of say, "Oh no, I didn't." Instead, this teacher finds a way to turn it into such a positive and to really help little dude with his identity. And that's what I mean about pastoral care. It's thinking that much further. It's giving that much more when you know that just a simple sort of phrase or words can actually make them such a huge difference to these kids. And that's what that teacher did. And they were absolutely outstanding. The lengths and breadths that they went to make little dude feel at home, safe, secure, to develop, to grow, it was incredible. They really, really went to town on making sure he did wonderfully. The concept for him, he wanted to go to a senior school, that he needed to pass a particular test to get in for. I spoke with the head teacher and I said, "You know, how do you feel about this? Do you think that that's too much pressure? Do you think that, you know, we should look at a different school? Do you think we should look at a school where it's just about where his friends are?" She said, "Look, I think if you didn't put him in for this school, I think that's the biggest mistake you would make." She said, "Academically, he is there and he deserves a placement in this school." He went through the test and he did really, really well. Didn't quite get the grade that was needed. He did, but it was quite a tough selection group. We spoke with the head and she said, "Oh, you know, how," and we explained what had happened. She didn't leave it there. She believes so strongly in little dude's future that she actually wrote a personal letter to the head teacher of the other school, of the senior school, and she said that she has seen his work and she knows his abilities, and she knows that if he didn't score particularly well on that test, that was the error. She said, "You know, that's the difference. He is actually a very, very academic student and he is very, very intelligent. He needs a spot." And she fought for him, and we didn't ask her to, But that's how much she believed in him and all of her pupils. And I genuinely believe that that's the bar. That's the way a head teacher should perform. Her duty, her sole purpose was making sure that her children were looked after and that they were given the best opportunities. That was her ambition. And she performed her role beautifully. Could not have asked for a better head. And I wish that more heads could spend time with her and learn how to do it, because it's incredible. She then worked with us on transition to senior school and helping us to consider how that would work and what we could do. She gave us a load of different techniques and loads of different information to pass on to the next school as well. So even that was breathtaking. A year after, so once little dude was in year 7, coming up to year 8, we attended a wedding. And at this wedding was little dude's first teacher at this school. We had an inclination that he'd be there. We saw him, we exchanged pleasantries, and then later in the night we asked him if we could buy him a drink. We said that we were really concerned about moving schools, but that actually he had set little dude on a path of great things. He believed in him and he gave him an opportunity to be fantastic. And we said, without this Mr. Enthusiasm, I'm going to call him Mr. Maths actually, without Mr. Maths, little dude wouldn't have progressed the way that he did. And it was incredible. And we really showered him with praise, much deserved praise. He then let us know that they'd received a file from school number 1 prior to little dude joining, and they had put quite a lot of notes about how his behaviour was dreadful. He was not that strong when it came to academia. And he said that the file that they wrote on him was actually really, really negative. He said, I was really quite concerned about the student I was getting. He said, and then when I met him, I was amazed that I was reading a document about the same child. That upset me, but didn't surprise me. It just showed that head number 1 was not interested in the children. She was interested in her own development and her political approach and just getting one more dig in at me. And then the second head just cared about the kids. So we got to see both ends of the spectrum, and we saw what a difference it could make. And I'm, like I said, I'm really pleased that we had that first school, because it set the bar of how low we could possibly go. And then this next school, they set the bar of how high it should go. And I don't know how long that head will be able to be in place. She's got to retire at some stage. I think she keeps forcing that away. but she's setting such an incredible standard within education, and she is helping other schools to do the same. And we need more heads out there like that, and we need more teachers like Mr. Maths. And the other teacher, each time that there was a school disco, he was the DJ. So Mr. DJ, you know, coming up with lines like that and helping our kids to navigate life, cracking, absolutely amazing. And that's what our kids need. I need to know that whilst my son is there, they are going to offer the same level of care that I will offer. I need to know that if he gives any revelations, they're going to bring that back to me. I need to know that if he says he's sad, they've got his back. And in fact, I need to know that they've got his back before he even says it. I need to know that they know it before it's even said. And they did it. And that's the type of school that you've got to look for. They're not every school, and it's not easy to find, but that's the standard you've got to set, because it does make a difference. Our little dude is doing really, really well educationally, largely because of Mr. Maths and Mrs. Superhead. You know, she was incredible, and she set the standard. So yeah, that's the standards that you've got to work towards, and that's the difference that it can make. So that is school number two. I'm hoping it's come across that this one was a lot more of a positive experience. Next week I'm going to talk to you about the transition to senior school and how we found senior school. We're now sort of mid-year 10. Where that time has gone, I don't know. Those of you that are starting the journey of adoption understand that the second these children move in with you, they are like ticking clocks to remind you how old you're getting. You are forewarned now. But listen, it's always great to talk to you guys and sort of touch base. Really looking forward to telling you next week. I've got some other really exciting topics coming up, and some other people that have suggested that they might be interested in being a guest on the show as well. So hopefully some different voices other than mine coming your way. But for now, thanks for listening. Keep listening. Keep the support growing. Keep any questions coming in. And as I said at the start, thank you. The support is incredible. I will speak to you next week.